This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
Hey, so last week we did Romans 13. It was, I thought it was very impactful to my life about submitting to authorities and praying for those in authority. And, you know, the more I think about it, we are not, we say we live in a free country. We are not anywhere in this planet, really, unless you live somewhere. But you're still under the authority of nature and gravity. But, you know, we're all under authority. And you probably have a position of authority within your home or at work in your own life. You know, God's called us to master ourselves. And so we need to pray for one another. It's not easy being an authority, isn't it? You know, so it's just tough. A long time ago, we were going to Colombia on a missions trip. Actually, we were going to Ecuador, but our plane had to land in Colombia. And this was in the 90s, in Colombia in the 90s, in Bogota especially, it was a little touch and go. And I remember my parents were very scared. Linda, were you on that trip with me? I don't know if you were. And so, very scared. So I was dropping off my children with my parents. My parents are, from Colombia. And I said, they seemed very worried. I said, Mom, Dad, and we're at the dinner table. I have to leave the next morning. And I go, Mom, Dad, what are you nervous about? And before I even say, what are you nervous about? My mom goes, bombings. And my dad says, abductions. And like, so all that just kind of embedded in my mind. I was like, oh no. And I had like 20, 25 Chi Alpha students, and probably 13, 14 of them were young college girls and the rest were guys. And I literally felt a massive amount of pressure all of a sudden that I didn't know I had. And then when we got to Miami, the flight was canceled. And so the question they had is that you can fly into Bogota and spend the night, or you can spend the night in Miami, wait till the next available flight, and then fly, like the original route. And all I could think of was what my parents were saying, bombings and abductions. And so my students were like, let's go to Bogota. And I'm like, no. I was literally trying to show a good face. And but when you're under authority, man, it can be very stressful, right? Parents, you're under a lot of stress. Maybe at your work, you're under a lot of stress. And I was in a lot of stress. And I remember, and I was trying to put on a good face, like, I got this, but I was scared. So I decided to, let's just go to Bogota and spend the night. And I'm like, this is crazy in the back of my mind. Students were excited. I'm thinking, so the flight was so delayed. We landed in Bogota around midnight. I don't know if, and it's the old airport. And if you've ever been here, it was old for a big, 10 million population airport. And the first thing you see, which I wasn't, prepared for, was the military police with military rifle, machine guns, just sitting there at the airport. And that just added more anxiety. And then, and because we had to spend the night, we had to go through customs. And so it's late. It's like 12:30. And I remember telling our students, lock arms. Because there's this lady with a little sign basically saying, follow me to the bus. I'm like, what bus? And how do I know the bus is going to the Marriott? There is no way for me. This is like pre-cell phone days. And so so we all lock arms. I'm trying to scare the students a little bit just so they can take it seriously. And we lock arms like little kindergartners, holding on to each other. And we're following this lady. And as soon as we get out of that airport, I totally forgot about the taxi drivers that want your business. And man, they were catcalling and calling people and, whistling at girls. And, and then we're just following, like, I don't know where we're going, or I'm just going to. And I just felt a tremendous amount. I mean, if you would have touched me, I probably would have fallen into 1,000 pieces. Like, how would I know where they're taking us? How would anybody know, if you're not from there? And it was like God sent an angel. So I'm scared stiff. I'm on the last person. I'm going to make sure everybody's on that bus. And all of a sudden, somebody touches me. Are you Mario? I'm like, it's 12:30 at night in Bogota, Colombia. I never lived there. And I looked at that girl and I said, yes. And she goes, I'm your cousin, Adriana. and I heard you were coming through. We've been here for 8 hours waiting on you. And I said, and I don't really have family. We never went back to Columbia. I mean, if they say they're cousins, I really don't know. I'm just taking the word for it. But I knew the name, and I said, is your dad here? He goes, yes, we've been waiting for you. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Because he knows where we're going. And sure enough, he followed us and made sure we got to the hotel. All I'm saying is that when you're under authority, there's a tremendous amount of pressure because you want to make the right choices, right? So just think of people that are in authority in your life. Pray for them. They may not look like they're under pressure, like I was trying to give that impression. I was not under pressure, but I was. And I had lives in my hands. I felt if I made the wrong mistake, they were going to be abducted. And so it was a different time. So I'm appreciate Romans 13 to challenge us as a church to pray for those in authority. Today is Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to try to cruise through it. I may have to just stop it like I did 13. But this is Romans chapter 12 is about living a transformed life. Back in the day, a long, 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 long time ago on television, there used to be a show called Extreme Makeover. I think we have a little slide on it. Anybody remember Extreme Makeover? Oh, we loved it. Robin and I loved it. Actually, there was an Extreme Makeover home right off of Mahan a long time ago, where what happened is they would take a family, they would pick a family that needed some help with their home. You know, typically, usually there was maybe a kid that was in a wheelchair and, you know, the house wasn't wheelchair ready. And man, this company would come, the show would come, and they would just transform the home. It was like this little tiny home before the Extreme Makeover. And then afterwards, they made it so that it was just a beautiful home, furnished, everything. It was just an amazing show to see the transformation from the pre-house to post-house. And usually they would cover the house while it was being done so that nobody could see the transformation. And at the very end of the scene of the TV show, there was this big bus, and everybody would say, you know, move that bus, and they'd move the bus, and the family sees their home, and they'd freak out, and then they go inside. So there's a beautiful transformation. There was another transformation. I wonder if that was just kind of a season in television. It was called The Biggest Loser, meaning the person who had the biggest weight loss. It was a big TV show. It was very very popular. Then there was another TV show I think it was on TLC. I can't remember, but it's called What Not to Wear. Anybody remember What Not to Wear? Yeah, you didn't watch it very good. I guess I'm just kidding. But basically, they would take someone that maybe dressed, maybe too casual, too, I guess the word would be frumpy, and you know, maybe that was a professional lady or a professional man, and he just didn't really dress appropriately. And this couple, I think they were professional people that would come and help transform a person's wardrobe and how they presented themselves at work. It was pretty amazing to see the transformation. So the question I have for you and me this morning out of Romans chapter 12 is, in your life, do you know someone who has had a spiritual transformation? Like you knew them when they were young, and now you know them as they're older, and can you see a spiritual transformation? Somebody that just went from, you know, like you couldn't believe it, to, wow, the Lord really changed their lives. Who comes to mind in your head? What person do you know had the biggest spiritual transformation? I think of a few people right off the bat. Back in a few years ago, we had a married couple that came to our church, Austin and Cassidy McElroy. They sat at my dinner table and they told me their story. They were head of Teen Challenge, which is a Christian drug rehab ministry. And they told me about their story. And if you would see them when they were sitting in our church right there, you would not think in a million years what their story is about. It's just amazing how what God did in their lives. It was such a transformation that it was just mind-boggling. It actually, I struggled to see what they might have been in their past because of who they are now. And you can only attribute that to the power of God working in their lives. It was just hard for me, and I'm not here to embarrass anyone, but and not at that extent in any way, but our very own Amber Gutierrez in the back, when she shared her story, you know, of being in college, it just to talk to her, it just was really hard for me to imagine what she was telling me. Like, that didn't make sense. But the only thing that makes sense is that's the power of the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life. Romans chapter 12 is about change and renewal. Romans 1 through chapter 1 through 11 is really about theology and it's, you know, setting down the doctrine. But Romans 12 to 16 is really about application of what that theology is about. And that's what we learned about in 13. We're going backwards. It's the only time we'll do that, going backwards. But really, if you have been transformed by God, then you will pray for those in authority. And so chapter 12 is the same thing. And Paul is going to urge the listeners of the church in Rome, and we are now listening to what God is saying through this passage, is he's saying he's pleading them to respond to God's mercy with how do we respond with God's mercy? We respond by living transformed lives. Living transformed lives. What does it mean to live a life that's transformed? Now, let's read in chapter 12, verse 1, and it says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you." Paul is being very dramatic here for a reason. "I plead with you, I beg with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you." It's very interesting. We'll talk about it in a second. "Let your body, let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable." Now, you have to understand the church was half Jewish, not converts, and half Gentiles. So immediately the Jewish believers would get some kind of, okay, I'm getting a picture of what you're saying here, Paul. "Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that we find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." If you truly want to worship him, live a life that's holy and sacrificial, and to give our bodies to God. Look what it says in verse 2. "Don't copy," I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, which is the book that we passed out for notes. "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world." You know, years ago, we used to make fun of people that we would call maybe holiness people. Matter of fact, if you want to know who built this church in 1949, the originators of this church building, it was a church in town called Christian Heritage. They've just recently changed their name. But Christian Heritage was a holiness Pentecostal group. Now, you would never think that with the stained glass. You would think that the St. Peter's Anglican built this church, but it wasn't. It was Christian Heritage. And I have a photo of the church when they were here in 1950. I literally thought I was looking at a photo from the 1850s. I mean, bonnets and dark clothing. It was very interesting. But one of the things that they, what I would call the holiness movement was really big on was this verse: "Do not conform to the world, to the customs of this world." So the world was wearing colorful clothes, so they weren't going to do that, you know. The world plays cards, they were playing cards, you know. It sounds crazy today, but I remember vaguely kind of hearing you shouldn't play cards. And the reason you shouldn't play cards is that not that the cards in themselves were evil, but that's what worldly people did. They played cards, you know, poker and all that. Movie theater, you know, anybody who was afraid to go to the movie theater growing up? Yeah, so I was kind of grew up in this, a little bit of this culture. I was afraid to go to the theater because worldly people went to the theater. And So we don't want to copy the customs of going to the movie theater. We would not go to the movie theater, you know. So even in my early days of campus ministry, I remember just, you know, having a hard time because I remember thinking, well, that's what the world does. But the Bible does say, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. I think what happened was that people started taking not playing cards and not going to the movies as something spiritual, but it wasn't. It was just not, we should have just kept it at the ground level, meaning we're just not going to copy what they're doing. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And so there's a correlation between what you're thinking and by how you're participating in this world. So sacrifice is defined as a life fully dedicated to God, not partially, but fully. When you would bring a sacrifice to the altar, especially if you understood Jewish customs and culture, you would bring an unblemished animal, and that would be sacrificed. It would be burned up. Not part of it, but the whole thing would be sacrificed. And so Paul is using these words, trying to give us a picture that it's somebody who's fully dedicated to God. Not partially, but he says fully. And this means, I remember the other day, I can't remember if it was here or I watched online. I don't know, Joanne, I can't remember. But I heard this song and I felt like it was here. But I Surrender All, we did not do that here, did we? Okay, a couple weeks ago. Well, I was at a church where I was listening to like I Surrender All. You guys know the song? And I felt very convicted, like, do I really surrender all? Or is it just kind of lip service? I remember Lavella once told me that Christians, we tend to not say lies, but we sing them. You know, I surrender all. And so I didn't want to say it if I didn't really do that. But Paul is talking about completely sacrificing our bodies unto the Lord. There's a picture of me being water baptized. I found it. A friend of mine found it. You see that? I was 18 years old. Now, I was very insecure, so much so that when I came up out of the water, remember I told you about my ear, I had long hair. The first thing I did was not praise the Lord, but cover my ear. I was ashamed and afraid that people might see it. But it's very powerful picture for me is that as I look back, you know, baptism is like you're dying to the old self and it's your new self. And I believe God did honor that step of obedience. But looking back, I'm realizing I did not really give Jesus my all. I gave part of him. This is a picture of me almost surrendering all. Publicly, I could sing this song, but privately, I was not ready to surrender all. I was not ready to surrender my future plans at that time. I was not ready, absolutely not ready to surrender my social life, my television life, my dating life. I was not willing and ready to give up my insecurities. I was holding on to that. Basically, I did not surrender all. I kind of gave a small portion of surrender. It was 4 years later, I was at rock bottom in my life, running away from God's call in my life. And this is just a ChatGPT picture I asked it to draw, which was pretty cool, of me having a supernatural encounter with Jesus at a lake and just had an encounter where I said, Lord, I surrender all. I surrender. I give you my whole life. Well, what we're going to see in chapter 12 and 13, and we already saw it in 13, is really it's an explanation of John chapter 4, which says that in John chapter 4, verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So how am I to worship God? In the very verse, first one, by offering our bodies. And so the first baptism picture, I was not ready to offer my body. I was ready to offer my future eternal security, but not my body. So we offer our body. Now, it is interesting that Paul uses that word because a few chapters before, and we already covered that, you know, just go back a few chapters in Romans, the body has a lot of sin in it. It's indwelling sin. But if you notice and you read chapter 12, Paul carefully phrases it so that he's saying that, yes, that there's sin that's indwelling in our bodies, but he is not saying that the body is something evil. He keeps reminding us, and when we read these passages, that our bodies are important, and one day it will be raised in the last days. Back in the early days of computers, maybe some of you are older, remember getting a virus on your computer. Anybody ever get a virus on your computer? So what you didn't do is you didn't throw the thing away. You may want to feel like it, but you didn't throw it away. You got yourself a virus checker or something to clean up the virus. So Paul is basically saying the same thing. Yes, we have sin that we have attached ourselves to, but that doesn't mean that the body is evil. So the whole person is a living sacrifice to the Lord. So I am to live unto the Lord, not in the world's patterns, not by the standards of the world, not have its priorities. And verse 2 makes that plain. I am to live by the standards and the priorities of the Lord, not of the standards of this world. And that's the essence of worship, worship. What is worth my time? So that's the question. What do you think is ultimately worthwhile? Time's expensive, isn't it? Ever feel like you don't have enough time? Time is expensive. I appreciate every single one of you because instead of staying at home sleeping, although I couldn't sleep this late, I could eat around now. Instead of being home eating or sleeping, you find it that God's worthy of your time. You think that God and worshiping God is worthwhile. So thank you that you see that. That's why I'm here. I think worshiping God, spending time with the Lord and with each other is worthwhile. If you think that this world in which we live in is ultimately worthwhile, then you wouldn't be here. Then you would live by those standards. You would live by the standards of we got to make money, more money, and I could be working today, making money. Or I could be, worshiping yourself and you can go out to, go do some fun stuff. It is interesting that even when I'm tired, emotionally or physically, when I come on a Sunday morning and I give my body as a living sacrifice and I worship the Lord, it's interesting that I find myself being refreshed and renewed in His presence. It doesn't make natural sense, but something happens supernaturally when I say, Lord, You are worthy and worthwhile my time, energy, and money. So that's what Paul is pleading with his church, and he's pleading with us that we would become a living sacrifice unto the Lord. And that's what we do when we have been transformed by God, by His mercy and grace through Jesus' sacrificial love and the blood that was shed. So, which means while we roam this earth, we need to, it makes sense, and it's a previous chapter of the 13, we will roam on this earth. We sang a song about pilgrimage, I believe, right? While we're on this pilgrimage, we're going to be under the authority of God. Really powerful. That's how we submit ourselves. So the question I have for you, and I'm going to stop, is are we holding anything back? Are you kind of like me in that baptism story of just holding things back from God? Are we surrendering? Are we challenging with surrendering our time, our talents, and treasures to God? because what we're going to be talking about is being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Renewing of our mind. Paul's going to challenge us, and I want to challenge you. I'm going to stop there. Like, are we living under the authority of God? And in chapter 13, but in chapter 12, are we living a life that is fully committed to him? Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. He is worthy of me and you giving him our all. It's so interesting when we do that, you know, like me covering my hair and all that and my ear with my hair, I thought somehow I was doing a good job, but the Lord had something better for me. I literally, you know the story, I'm walking in freedom, and God has something better for you if you were to just release those areas that you know, and I don't know what they are, you know what they are, that maybe you're holding back. You're holding on to this. It could be unforgiveness. It could be bitterness. It could any be those things that, you know, we can give them to the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to give this to you. I want to live for you fully. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that he finds acceptable. This truly is the way to worship him. He's worthy of us truly living a life of sacrifice for him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm going to ask the band to come on up. We're just going to finish with a song. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Lord, thank you that you've given us this eternal life, but this beautiful life that we get to live here, the here and now, this life of freedom under your authority. Freedom under your authority. So thank you, Father, that we get to experience that. Help us to learn from chapter 12. Lord, I pray, God, that if we haven't grown, you know, if we can't see the beginning of an episode and the end of an episode, like a TV show, where this is what I used to be like and this is how I am now. Lord, I pray, God, that's not because you're not capable, but Lord, maybe it's an area of my life that I've not surrendered completely. Lord, we're going to say thank you for that. We're going to finish with a song. And at any time during the song, I'm not going to ask you to stand now, but if you stand during the song, I pray that you're saying, Lord, I want to dedicate my life again to living fully, a living and holy sacrifice to the Lord. It would just be an icon, a representation of what and how you want us to live throughout the week and year and rest of our lives. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. Let's just remain seated for a minute, and then at any time you feel the Lord saying to stand, just go ahead and stand.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.